Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
God bless you, friends. Thank you for watching, listening, and sharing. We've got Linda Harvey from Mission America joining us in just a minute. But I want to thank some people that have sent in some donations. Now, our fundraiser is over. It's been over for weeks. But I just still want to just recognize people that are supporting us. It's just been a blessing. God will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And we are a testament to that. First of all, Nina from Virginia, thank you so much for your encouraging card and what you write. Nina, I give her a hard time. She's old school and still writes cards and letters, but I appreciate them so much because I'm kind of old school that way. But I want to thank Polly from Green Bay, Shelly from LeClaire, Iowa, Connie from Osakis, Minnesota, Rhonda and Rod from Palatine, Illinois. Palatine? There's no S in there. Adam from Valparaiso, Florida, Steve from Kimberly, Wisconsin, and Linda from The Woodlands, Texas. God bless you all. I think that's everybody, but thank you so very much. You keep us going. We are good to go. As Paul writes, you know, we are amply supplied. We have all we need, and praise him for his provision and faithfulness. So Linda Harvey with Mission America, we're kicking off this episode and talking about a few articles on her website. One of them is good news, the top 10 positive declining trends in America. And we're going to give you a perspective, a balanced perspective on positive declining trends. And let's bring her in right now. Linda, good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, David. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you on again. And let's, before we dive into this and talk about some of these items and stories, just what's been happening with you and your ministry, any news and updates you can share with our audience?
Well, sure. This past fall, we spent a lot of time, as you know, we do a lot on the LGBTQ agenda, quote unquote, in the schools. And what we've done this past fall is we really exposed the idea of so-called homosexual or transgender history month. That was in October. And we called for many ministries around the country to join us. I believe you all did as well, to speak out about this and say, guess what? The best homosexual history starts with Genesis 19 and Sodom and Gomorrah and God's condemnation of that behavior and his forgiveness of those that want to leave that lifestyle. So we did that this fall. And then we've done a lot in the last few months just talking about Islam relating to the LGBTQ agenda, which is so much in the news, not just in America, but globally. And also, we just, as you said, published an article about the top 10 declining trends in America.
So also what we have on our radar to look out, thanks to your calendar, the what do you call it? The school corruption propaganda calendar. Coming up is No Name Calling Week. That's January 19. It starts, and then National Day of Reading, promoting gender confusion. That's at the end of February. So there are things throughout the year. It's not just October. It's not just June, right? You know, Pride Month or whatever. So let's go through some of these and start with number 10. Linda, this was interesting. Radical LGBTQ advocacy groups are losing money, and that's good news. But, you know, they have so much momentum that they have established over the decades. But talk about the good news here for us.
Yeah, the good news is, and as we all know, when Donald Trump came into office, he declared that there are two genders, male and female, and he also put an end to so much of the DEI school funding, the attempted hijacking of Title IX, and pushing pronouns and boys in bathrooms and boys in sports and so on. So a lot of these federal funding streams dried up, and that's for the radical homosexual groups, as well as they were, their donors saw the trend and decided in many cases to cut off so much of their funding. So the Human Rights Campaign, GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, and others like the Trevor Project all laid off staff. And so we were very gratified to hear this. And also the corporate funding in the wake of the Bud Light situation a year and a half ago. The corporate funding for pride parades and these local LGBTQ groups has also dried up. I just read an article in Ohio that many of the local, there are 30 some homosexual, transgender nonprofits in Ohio, just in Ohio. So they're losing funding too. So we have, yes, the momentum is there. The Democratic Party, the National Education Association, all of the left-wing media are all behind this and behind them. But we can cheer that for the first time, there's been a hiccup in their momentum. So.
Yeah, and as you said in here, the less funding they have, the less harm to our children and our culture. And so, what did I titled this podcast, because I always write down a little title before we start talking about all this, and I titled it Moral Decline Slows, But the Damage is Done. They've corrupted so many young children who are now adults. And they've been active for decades, because of the stronghold the left has in particularly the government-run schools, and look at social media and look at everything that's coming against biblical values or the truth. So, yes, the less funding, the better. Now, let's jump to number nine, Linda. Teachers union membership dropping steadily. Explain this.
Yeah, and it's been going on for the past 4 or 5 years, but it's definitely getting some more momentum, in that more and more teachers are learning that because of a very prominent Supreme Court case a few years ago, that they can refuse to join the teachers unions and they can get the benefits that they get from, you know, other organizations. There are Christian teachers unions. There are neutral teachers unions where they can get liability insurance and those kinds of things. You don't need to be part of the very far left radical teachers union agenda to get those benefits. In fact, many teachers, once they find out what, you know, that they're just an arm of the Democratic Party, the far left of the Democratic Party, they don't want to be a part of that any longer. And so that membership is declining. Also, public school enrollment, because so many parents are finding out that there are alternatives, homeschooling, Christian schooling. Public school enrollment is also declining. So that's also good news that pairs along with the decline in the teachers union membership.
So, Linda, your thoughts on, before we get to number eight, parents turning to private schools, religious schools, homeschooling, that's all good. But at this point, is it too late? The government, the public schools are irredeemable, in my opinion, and most people that I know that are the Alex Newmans and the Heidi St. Johns and the so many other people. What are your thoughts, even though it's good news that some parents are now finally going to private school, religious, or homeschooling?
Yeah, you know, I get this pretty often because I spend so much time on the public schools. My own children went to public schools, it wasn't my first choice, but long story, but I had no choice but to do that at that time. This is 30 years ago. And it wasn't anything close to what it is now, but my thought is, you always ask the question, when there's a question like this, what's the alternative? Okay, we all the Christians pull out of doing anything to influence the public schools, all Christians and conservatives. What would that look like for America? They're already producing barbarians, but not all our kids are barbarians. We are talking about national security issues at this point. We cannot abandon totally the public schools. We have to stay engaged and keep them at least at bay. Because if we don't, we're going to have more. I mean, I'm jumping to some conclusions here. But that young woman who drove into the ICE agents yesterday, I don't know if she was a public school product. She's apparently in a lesbian relationship, so she's confused in that way. We've seen more and more students who become young adults who are transgender or homosexual, and they are, or some other, they're radicalized by Islam and they become violent. You know, what, how many more of those do we need for to begin to start to say we cannot turn our backs on the public schools? We have to keep working for election of conservatives, school board members where we can, holding people accountable for their curriculum and bad, poor, obscene book choices, and so on. All the things and the DEI issues that President Trump is defunding. We have in Ohio, we have defunded the that we banned boys in girls' sports. We've banned these medical procedures on children, these transgender Frankenstein procedures, many other 20 some other states have done the same thing. So we need to keep standing and looking at this and saying, yes, if you can get your children out and educate them, otherwise do so, but don't turn your back on the public schools.
I think that's a very balanced approach. I do. I know some people have changed their tune over the years. They used to say, no, we need our Christian children in the public schools. But you're thinking, okay, what are they up against if you keep the kids in there anyway? But I appreciate that perspective, Linda. Let's go to number eight. And more Planned Parenthood clinics are closing, the brick and mortars. Now, this is not necessarily surprising, but yet, as we know, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, there are even more abortions, and they Planned Parenthood still gets funding from taxpayers. Just your thoughts on that. Give us perspective on this one.
Unfortunately, abortions are going up. And I think it's probably because of the chemical abortions and the ease, tragic ease with which we can kill our own children in the quietness of the apartment or the bedroom or the bathroom in someone's home. That's a sad, sad situation. But brick and mortar facilities are no longer needed for abortions in so many areas. And until the Congress and the FDA gets hold of this and the courts stop blocking any means of changing that, regulating those abortion pills, we need to continue to pray about this. It is great that Planned Parenthood facilities are declining because they're getting Medicaid money by providing, you know, contraceptive, you know, gynecological screenings, probably getting Medicaid money in many states for providing cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers without much in the way of counseling to young people. So it's good that all of that is happening. And the big beautiful bill, I believe, is the one that cut the Medicaid funding. But what we need to do is to decrease the number of abortions, period, especially those chemical abort all of them, but the chemical abortions where we need to spend some time now.
And you know, it's a heart issue. It's a worldview issue. Life, human life in mothers' wombs, God as the creator, human life, male, female, you know, gender, marriage, family. There's a, you know, there's a progression. And so, yeah, because we can do all the political battles back and forth in DC between the Democrats and Republicans, all that's been happening for decades. But until you can actually reach kids or young people with the gospel, and sometimes it's not just young people getting abortions, until you hearts change, then the value for life is there, and you know, things change, worldview changes. But let's move on to the next one. Linda, I could go either way on this, because there's a dispute over whether this is a valid report. Number seven, some say the number of minors embracing gender confusion is in decline. I sure certainly don't see that with the propaganda out there, television, social media, Hollywood. Your thoughts?
Yes, this came out and everybody went, "Wow, this is wonderful." And then there were many criticisms of that report, that specific report. But I do believe that we will find when we get more widespread surveys on this that there is indeed a decline. I know in two situations in that I've known about in Ohio, good friends of mine. Both had girls 4 and 5 years ago who decided they were boys. Both of these girls have left that insane idea and returned to being the girls that God made them to be. And I know that's anecdotal evidence, but I believe that once we get some valid statistics in and some good surveys, we're going to see that this is indeed the truth because the truth is being proclaimed in more and more public venues than it was before.
And we were censored. A lot of voices were censored before. And so that's a good thing. Moving on for the sake of time. Again, friends, did I give the website at the beginning? MissionAmerica.com.
Thank you.
This is great news, but I'm very skeptical about number six. The Democrat Party has money trouble. They'll get it. They'll still get funding, but go ahead and share what you know about that, Linda.
Well, I know, and they so totally botched with under Kamala Harris's presidential bid their the finances, but they're never held accountable for that. Yet I think they will get the money that they need, unfortunately, but it looks like fewer and fewer people are supporting what they're doing, and our side is more vocal, and because of so many things that have happened recently, and the Donald Trump administration allowing us to have more of a voice. I'm just hopeful that this will hold, that they won't be anywhere nearly as well funded for these 2026 races as they were in 2025 and 2024.
Yeah, midterms are going to be huge. So you can mention number five if you want to, but I don't want to run out of time before make sure we get to number four. And for the first time in 50 years, there are fewer drug traffickers, sex traffickers, Islamic terrorist wannabes, convicted felons, and welfare parasites. Why? Because new illegal immigrants are no longer invading America's borders, thanks to the Trump administration. And share about that, Linda.
Yes, the cut in illegal immigration is such great news. And remember the one before that about fake Social Security and SNAP accounts, and now all the Somali immigrants. Patriot Post had an interesting, somebody in there wrote that Minnesota is now the land of 10,000 daycares, which I thought was people up your way probably will appreciate that. We have the second largest Somali community is in my town where I reside, Columbus, Ohio.
Oh,
So
wow.
we're also there's also evidence we're getting the citizen journalists who are knocking on the doors of these, daycares where there are no children and bars on the doors and BMWs in the parking lot. So we're going to see a lot of this rolled out as Trump follows federal law and exposes some of this and keeps the illegal immigrants out. I mean, it's pretty simple.
I'm sure this is rampant, Linda, not just Minnesota or Ohio. How did it, did the government just not have the manpower to investigate or make sure the funds were used properly? Or is this a thing of the media covering up for blue cities or blue states? What are your thoughts on that?
Some of that, but I think this started under Obama, where there was federal money, and of course he was very soft on, he's been soft and very, very buddy buddy with the Islamic communities, period. And then it accelerated under after the George Floyd riots, where, and Black Lives Matter, where you could not question any nonprofit group that was founded by people of color. And, just didn't question what they were doing. So I think they were get away with a lot. So I think we're going to find that's what it is.
Okay, number three, fewer gender clinics for children are operational. Major pediatric clinics closing. And you mentioned a few of the major hospitals. That's great news. Is that trend going to continue, Linda?
It will continue because the federal and state funding, in many cases, is drying up because
Praise
they're
God.
finding that yes, praise God, they just don't have that. And in Europe, they're moving away from this these protocols as to how to treat children with, again, Frankenstein medicine. So hopefully that will continue.
Okay, this one, I don't see it, but number two, support for same-sex marriage declined, maybe slightly. What do you see about on this one, Linda?
Well, this is, again, major pollsters that measure this over a period of time, the support for same-sex marriage, which has been increasing, and now it's taken a backtrack. It's still a majority now,
yes,
but it is only a slight majority. And of course, as you might expect, more Republicans than Democrats disapprove of same-sex marriage. We're going to have a number of ballot issues going around the country. I think we may have one in Ohio this coming fall or a year from now, that where they're trying to solidify and put in the state constitutions a support for same-sex so-called marriage.
Yeah. And yes, so-called. We have to put marriage in air quotes when we're talking about same-sex marriage. And we have to remember, friends, who ordained and defined marriage? God. Natural marriage between one man and one woman. That's biblical, and that's throughout world history. Let's go to number one, and this is good, that for the first time, more people, particularly young people, Gen Z, they're turning to Jesus. They're going to church. The Bible sales are off the charts, and this is in large part due to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And people, it was very sobering, I think, for the country and maybe even the world. Your thoughts on that? This is a very positive sign.
Yes. In the view of declining trends, the decline is the number of people giving the cold shoulder to Christianity and saying, oh, I'll never even consider that. Hmm. And especially younger people are saying, wait a minute, I think there may be something here that I have missed. And more TPUSA and other Christian groups are springing up everywhere. I mean, it's just astounding. And I just quoted Revelation 3:20, to hear his voice, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Mm. Those hearts that are open, Jesus is knocking on your door, the door of your heart, and do not turn away.
Yeah. I mean, it's ever since the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, I know people debate over a couple non-Christians sharing the gospel or mentioning Jesus, but God was glorified, and we have to just get back to the basics. Is this reaching people? Is this changing people's hearts? Are more people open to the true God? And yes, it is. So Linda, 4 minutes left. We do want to touch on another article you wrote called The Queering of American Islam. This is very interesting. Strange bedfellows. When you've got the LGBTQ partnering with Islam, so talk to us a little bit about this in light of what happened in New York City with the new mayor there. Just unbelievable what's going on.
Right. Islam, strangely, in America, is paired up with mostly the Democratic Party. Most American Muslims vote Democrat, which when you think, they're the pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, pro-feminism party, why would they do that? It's because I think the bottom line is their mutual hatred of Jesus, of the truth of the gospel, and of the conservative power that has been unleashed through Donald Trump and the resurgence of Republicans who some of the time now have courage, which we weren't seeing for so long. The Democrats have courage, and they're going further and further left. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the partnership. Most American Muslims, 52% in one survey, approve of homosexuality, if you can believe that. Where you have in Gaza, 90-some percent of the Gazans who were surveyed do not. Wow. The queers for Palestine, remember those signs in some of the gay pride parades this past year? People are going, what are you doing? Because in America, it's a different story. You have Rashida Tlaib, you have Ilhan Omar, you have all these people that are very sympathetic to or are Muslims, and they're not just Democrats, they're far left Democrats. This is
Isn't
they're useful tools. They're just useful tools for the time being for
so
that movement.
is this an issue of ignorance, or let's just say, in Christianity in America, there are nominal Christians. They're like worldly Christians, lukewarm. Maybe they don't know the full teachings of the Bible. They've never read the Muslims, I would think, especially the over half that support homosexuality, because Islam clearly teaches, if you read, the Hadith and the Quran, they're against any sexual immorality harshly, intensely.
Yes,
So go ahead.
I think that it's what you're saying. It's within their culture. They're so much more embedded, even if they're secularized, and so many of them are secularized, but they still will. They'll know that their culture disapproves of this, and but yet they're like many again. Many American Jews are liberals. Why would in the world in today's environment, with anti-Semitism increasing, would Jews be liberals and identify with any of this? It's because they identify more strongly with their liberal values than they do with their culture, even if it's the background is Islam or is Judaism, and yet they still hold on to that because that's their tribe, if you will. And people need to wake up and realize, what is it you believe? These are real beliefs. They have a real political implication for all of us. And so, especially in America, we have the freedom to change all of that and to move away from.
And it may be naive, but as you say in the article, the homosexual trans movement is looking for any group that stands in hostility to Judeo-Christian faith and values, even working for the collapse of America. And we just have to understand. Again, that article, friends, is The Queering of American Islam, is at missionamerica.com. Linda, so great to catch up with you. Lord willing, we'll do it again in the near future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, David. Great to be with you.
Friends, thank you for watching, listening, and sharing the podcast. To God be the glory, and may you be blessed and always keep speaking the truth about things that matter.